Evert Gulberg saw that his whiskey glass was empty. He was not fond of alcohol, but it had been a long day, and a long journey. At this stage of life he did not think it mattered whether he decided to have one glass of whiskey or two. He poured himself the miniature Glenfiddich. The most sensitive of all issues, of course, was Olof Palme. Gulberg remembered every detail of Election Day 1976. For the first time in modern history, Sweden had voted for a conservative government. Most regrettably, it was Thorbjörn Fälldin who became Prime Minister, not Gustav Bohman, a man infinitely better qualified. But above all, Palme was defeated, and for that Gulberg could breathe a sigh of relief. Palme's stability as Prime Minister had been the object of more than one lunch conversation in the halls of SIS. In 1969, Winger had been dismissed from the service after he gave voice to the view, shared by many inside the division, that Palme might be an agent of influence for the KGB. Winger's view was not even controversial in the climate prevailing inside the firm. Unfortunately, he had openly discussed the matter with County Governor Lassinantti on a visit to Norrbotten. Lassinantti had been astonished and had informed the government chancellor, with the result that Winger was summoned to explain himself at a one-on-one meeting. To Goldberg's frustration, the question of Palmer's possible Russian contacts was never resolved. Despite persistent attempts to establish the truth and uncover the crucial evidence, the smoking gun, the section had never found any proof. In Goldberg's eyes, this did not mean that Palmer was innocent, but rather that he was an especially cunning and intelligent spy who was not tempted to make the same mistakes that other Soviet spies had made. Palme continued to baffle them, year after year. In 1982, the Palme question arose again when he became Prime Minister for the second time. Then the assassin's shots rang out on Sveavägen, and the matter became irrelevant. 1976 had been a problematic year for the section. Within SIS, among the few people who actually knew about the existence of the section, a certain amount of criticism had surfaced. During the past 10 years, 65 employees from within the security police had been dismissed from the organization on the grounds of presumed political unreliability. Most of the cases, however, could never be proven, and some senior officers began to wonder whether the section was run by paranoid conspiracy theorists. Goldberg still raged to recall the case of an officer hired by SIS in 1968, whom he had personally evaluated as unsuitable. He was Inspector Bergling, a lieutenant in the Swedish Army who later turned out to be a colonel in the Soviet Military Intelligence Service, the GRU. On 4 separate occasions, Goldberg tried to have Bergling removed, but each time his efforts were stymied. Things did not change until 1977, when Bergling became the object of suspicion outside the section as well. His became the worst scandal in the history of the Swedish security police. Criticism of the section had increased during the first half of the 70s, and by mid-decade Goldberg had heard several proposals that the budget be reduced, and even suggestions that the operation was altogether unnecessary. The criticism meant that the section's future was questioned. That year, the threat of terrorism was made a priority in SIS. In terms of espionage, it was a sad chapter in their history, dealing as they were mainly with confused youths, flirting with Arab or pro-Palestinian elements. The big question within the security police was to what extent personnel control would be given special authority to investigate foreign citizens residing in Sweden, or whether this would continue to be the exclusive domain of the Immigration Division. Out of this somewhat esoteric bureaucratic debate, a need had arisen for the section to assign a trusted colleague to the operation who could reinforce its control. Espionage, in fact, against members of the Immigration Division. The job fell to a young man who had worked at SIS since 1970, and whose background and political loyalty made him eminently qualified to work alongside the officers in the section. In his free time, he was a member of an organization called the Democratic Alliance, which was described by the Social Democratic media as extremely right-wing. Within the section, this was no obstacle. 3 others were members of the Democratic Alliance too, and the section had in fact been instrumental in the formation of the group. It had also contributed a small part of its funding. It was through this organization that the young man was brought to the attention of the section and recruited. His name was Gunnar Björk. It was an improbable stroke of luck that when Alexander Zalichenko walked into Normalm police station on election day 1976 and requested asylum, it was a junior officer named Gunnar Björk who received him in his capacity as administrator of the Immigration Division, an agent already connected to the most secret of the secret. Björk recognized Zalichenko's importance at once and broke off the interview to install the defector in a room at the Hotel Continental. It was Gulberg whom Björk notified when he sounded the alarm, and not his formal boss in the Immigration Division. The call came just as the voting booths had closed, and all signs pointed to the fact that Palmer was going to lose. Gulberg had just come home and was watching the election coverage on TV. At first he was sceptical about the information that the excited young officer was telling him. Then he drove down to the Continental, not 250 yards from the hotel room where he found himself today, to assume control of the Zalichenko affair.